God sent His Son. We call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. Grave is there to prove. Oh, because He lived, I can face tomorrow. I know He owes my future, and life is with the living just because He lives. And then one day across the river, I'll fight life's final war with Him I love. And then as day gives way to victory, I'll see the light of glory fall. I know He lives because He lives. I can face anything tomorrow, oh, because He lives. My fear is gone, oh, because I know He holds my future, and life is with a living just because He lives. And in our day, God sent us, oh, He sent us His prophet, just as He promised that He would. Oh, He would send to prepare a bride, and send time mercy. And Christ in me is there to prove that, oh, because He lives. Oh, because He lives. I can face tomorrow.
Because He lives.
Oh, because He lives.
Oh, fear is gone.
Oh, fear is gone. Because I know. Yes, I know
He owes my future,
and life is worth a living just because He lives.
Let's bow our heads, saints. Heavenly Father, we thank You once again, Lord, even to sing such a song. Father, that You hold the future. Father, we thank You that You hold the past, You hold the present, You hold the future. And Father, there's no safer place that we can entrust our future but to You. And Father, we want to come and give today into Your hands. Father, we just really want to give ourselves to Thee. We want, Father, Lord, to present ourselves and then our offering. Father, and then believing and trusting, Father, because of Your goodness, that we're already accepted in the Beloved. So, Father, we have come to fellowship with You. We've come to commune with You once again. We've come, Lord, just to be shut in with God in the secret place of the Most High. Father, You just grant us entrance, Lord, even as we've worshipped Thee in song, even as prayer has been prayed. Father, now as we open up the Word and we come to the place that, Father, we desire that You'd minister unto our souls. Father, the song says You've never failed us yet. And Father, we do appreciate every time that You've fellowshipped with us, every time, Lord, that You've drawn near, every time that You've revealed Yourself. Father, it's changed us because revelation always changes us. And Father, may you continue in the power of transformation upon this evening. Father, just to lead us in humility and simplicity, but to transform us into the image that we should be. Bless your people, Father, them that are at work. I pray for them that are at home, the sisters and so forth, that you pray for them. Them that have traveled, Brother Vlad, Sister Lydia, we pray for them as they continue their holiday. You bless them, Lord. And Father, all of your people upon this night, we do remember them, Lord. We think of the high priest who would go into your presence with a breastplate, Father, representing all of your people. Father, we just bring your people before the throne of mercy once again upon this night and commit all things into thine hands. Lord, we've gathered in your name. May we leave this place saying it was good to be in the presence of the Lord. Bless your word to us now. Help us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Saints, we do greet you in Jesus' name. It's really good to gather, to fellowship around his word. There's something wonderful about the word of God. Let's open up straight away 1 John chapter 3. I just wanted to greet Sister Gabriella. She's with us from Lithuania, from Vilnius. She's here for a season, I think, with Brother Wilmore, yeah? Learning English. So we do greet the sister. It's nice to be with her. May the Lord bless her as she sojourns with us and each other of the saints have gathered this evening. Let's open 1 John chapter 3. We'll take the first two verses from there just to give ourselves a thought. Not trying to be too complicated, but just trying to fellowship around things that may be of virtuous to the soul. Now, there's a lot of things. I remember Brother Beckett once saying that he says certain things are mind food and certain things are soul food. And I'm sure you're like me. I prefer the soul food. I prefer something that builds me up and edifies me. Some stuff is mind food. You know, and you go away and you say it was interesting, but it doesn't really build you up. It doesn't put spiritual vitamins in your system to go out and face up to the challenge of the day. But there's certain things which you really would desire if it could be soul food. It's like one person once said, he says, in the certain topics in the word, you want people to feel them, not to understand them. You know, and that's the truth in that. You know, when you read the word, you want to feel the word. You know, you don't just want to read the word or understand the word. You want to have communion with that word because that's when it makes a difference in your life. So 1 John 3, verse 1 and 2. John says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So because we have the same genealogy, we have the same pedigree as Jesus, because he came, the world didn't recognize him. Because we have the same attributes as him, they're not going to recognize us either. He says, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's a wonderful scripture. Now are we the sons of God. Let's take Galatians chapter 4 as well. We'll take our title of the message tonight from Galatians chapter 4. It may just be worth our while to read the whole of Galatians chapter, the whole of the first seven verses. Galatians 4, this is the master teacher, Paul, breaking open these mysteries, dividing between law and grace. He says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, verse 1, differs nothing from a servant, though he is Lord of all. So as long as the son thinks he's a servant, you know, he's never going to be different than the servant. But when he realizes that he's a son, then it's going to make a difference. But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So we'll take our thought from there, because you are sons. We'll take it as our thought. You may be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of the scriptures. You know, I so much like that thought when Paul says, because you are sons. You know, and I just was really thinking of it the whole week. There's so many different things which have become ours because we're sons. And there's so many things that are available to us if we could realize them because we are sons. And obviously when the Bible speaks of sons, it's meaning the children of God. So it's sons and daughters. But it's always put as sons. It puts the inheritance to the sons. Now, the first thing we'd have to ask ourselves, how do we become the sons of God? How do we become the children of God? You know, I really love that in the message, because the message coming with the unveiling of the seals, when the seals were opened, the seals unveil the mysteries of redemption. Those things that were lost, the prophecies and the battle of truth through the ages. And you look back at the age of the anointing of the man, and you know, the great people of those days, they never understood the things which the prophet taught to us, especially about predestination. No, people never understood that. And the greatest mistake that the people in that missionary age made, we sing it in our songs, that we were worthless slaves. And he came to buy us as worthless slaves, and then he turned us into the sons of God. I mean, that's very unscriptural. A son of God was always a son of God. A daughter of God was always a daughter of God. We never were worthless slaves. The prodigal son was always a son, although he made himself a slave. He was never a slave. He was never born a slave. He was never predestinated to be a slave. He was always a son, though he sold himself out, but he never lost his sonship. And I think that's one of the key things to understand about sonship, about being a child of God, is being a child of God is not based on your works. Being a child of God is not based upon anything that you can do. No person can make themselves a child of God. It's like for Daniel, he's my child. You have your children. Why are they your children? Because they were in you. And then they were expressed. There was a desire that you had to see the expression of the seed that was in you. And one day that which was in you became visible and became expressed. And those are your sons and your daughters. They never chose to be sons. They had nothing to do with it. They never ever made a decision one day, Daniel, to say, I want to be a son of my dad. It's not like that. And the way that God works, his sons and his daughters are predestinated as well. Nobody can make themselves a son or daughter of God. If you're not a son or daughter of God, you never will be a son or a daughter of God. Just as much as if you're not my son, or I'm not you, one of your children, I'm not your father's child, you're not my father's child, you can't make yourself different than you are. So how do we become sons? Now again, it's bringing it back to the simplicity of the principle that the prophet taught about genetics, about the genes of God. You know, it's a really interesting thought, because the prophet says that science always goes parallel with the spiritual world. That inventions in science, when science starts discovering all of these stars with a Hubble Space Telescope and looks back into these great vast galaxies, you know, it's only in this last days that we have a real understanding that they can look right to the center of the universe, and they can say that's when whatever the Big Bang took place, whatever they want to call it. They can look back right to the beginning, to the creation of the universe. In the days of Luther, in the days of Wesley, they had these little telescopes. They could just about see the moon. They could just about see the rings of Saturn. So they never really understood the vastness of the heavens, which is God's first Bible. And the prophet says the advancements in science always match the advancements in the spiritual kingdom. So when God is revealing more to his children spiritually, you'll find there's an inspiration that spills over into the scientific realm as well. And they start to advance as well. So you find in the days of Luther, what was it? They still had the horse and the buggy, the prophet says in Countdown. He says, but when you come to the days of Wesley, when God came and revealed more, and God unveiled sanctification, a deeper revelation of the mystery of redemption, you find they moved on now to the steam engine, and then they moved on from the horse and buggy. And then he says, and when it came now to Azusa Street, 1906, when Pentecost, when it was a deeper experience of redemption, you find it came now, the aeroplane flew, the Wright brothers, 1905. Azusa Street was 1906. So man moves into another dimension, a more heavenly dimension. The baptism of the Holy Ghost comes at Azusa Street. The church is lifted up into a higher realm, a heavenly dimension as well. And it always works together like this. And then you find it comes to the astronaut age, the prophet says. The first man goes into space. A Russian man, Yuri Gagarin, there in the 1950s. Yeah, I think it was 1950, whatever, almost 1960 that he went to, I think 59. The prophet goes beyond the curtain of time in 1960. So a man goes out and comes back for the first time. The prophet goes out and comes back. There's always this parallel. And then you see these great advances in science now that we can see the first Bible, the heavens. It's so much more clear now. We can see in minute detail things that Luther and them couldn't see in their day. They couldn't see the richness and the depth of what was there. It was always there, the first Bible, the stars, the galaxies, which God wrote and spread across the skies. But God showing us what's available to the sons and daughters of God in the last days, just as the seals are unveiled and the full mystery that God had in his mind before the foundation of the world is unveiled, man cracks open this scientific advancement that opens up the heavens to him as well. And then man now can go and live in space. Man can enter that dimension and stay there for months now. Imagine, in Skylab and the space station. And then they can come back to Earth once again. Man never was able to do that before. And the prophet says it speaks of the day that we're living in because it's an astronaut age. And what is interesting to me as well is in the same day now, when the prophet started to speak about the genes of God, science started to find out all these things about genetics. Science started to find out that so many of the things that you face, so many of the things that you develop, diseases and so forth, it was in your genes. It wasn't just the environment that did it to you, but you inherited it from your mother and your father. So things were passed down to you without you even asking for it. And that put certain attributes inside of you. And the prophet at the same time, when they started now to discover these mysteries of genetics and DNA and all those kind of things and what you hand down to your children, the prophet comes with the real meaning of it and comes to show the spiritual genetics of God and the sons of God. And that is the real proof. You know, when I was studying this yesterday, I found it very interesting because I clicked on Google to go and look for something. And yesterday, if anybody saw it on Google, you know they always have the anniversary of this, that, and the other. It was the anniversary of some woman who 94 years ago discovered DNA. And I thought it was really, really interesting to me. I said, you know, that it's exactly the same kind of a thing. So the prophet, when he speaks about how do we become the sons of God, he says in the message, Invisible Union, he says, Christ is the Word of God. We know that. He always was the Word. He is still the Word. He will always be the Word. He was only the manifestation of the attributes of God. For he was the Son of God. So inside of God, God always had this potential to express himself. There was always a desire inside of God. There were always these attributes that he desired to express. And one day in the due season, in the fullness of time, like Paul says, the fullness of the word came forth. And Jesus now was the fullness of the revelation, the manifestation of what God had shut up inside of himself. So the prophet says that. He says that Jesus was the manifestation of the attributes of God. So if you wanted to know before who God was, you had a partial idea through Moses, through Joseph, through David. But when Jesus came, we now had the full manifestation of who God really is. If we had to put it in that kind of way, for the first time, the fullness of the DNA of God was made known. Because Jesus was the fullness of the word. So all that God was, all the attributes, all the potential that was in God to be expressed, we saw it now expressed in Jesus. Because he was the fullness of the word. Then the prophet says and continues on and he says, and any son is the attributes of his father. So a son is the attributes of his parents. In God, we have our father. Everything came from God. But naturally speaking, it's from the father and the mother. You take the 23 chromosomes from the father, 23 from the mother, put them together. Everything that's inside of your children came from the parents. They inherited everything from their parents. All that I am, I got it from my mother and my father. I didn't get it from anywhere else. It was all inside of them, inside of the genes that were expressed when I was born. I inherited it from my parents. Everything that I am. All the attributes physically and so forth. And some of these genes, we know they're dominant, some are recessive. So there's certain things that get passed on that are very prominent from generation to generation. You'll see it in a family tree. You'll find maybe there's a big nose in a family and you'll find it'll be so prominent. You'll find other people, it'll be whatever attributes that they are. But there's some that are real dominant and no person can doubt that this person belongs to that father. Because it's an expression of attributes that were passed by. We can see these attributes expressed in flesh. And you can trace it back and see, but these attributes show that this child came from this father or from these parents. Now it's going to have to be the same spiritually as well. That's what the prophet is saying. And that's what we'll have a look at. To see, what are these attributes of the sons of God? If we really want to know, are we the sons of God? Are we displaying the attributes of our Father? Because that's how we're going to know. Or are some of them still potential in us? Potentially, we've got them in us. We've inherited something from our Father to be expressed, but maybe we're not fully expressing it. But we've received it spiritually in our genetics as we were born, in our code that was put inside of us, but it hasn't yet fully been expressed. So the prophet says, any son is the attributes of his Father. Just as you were in the genes of your Father, in the body of your Father when he was a young boy. So inside of your Father, inside of you, you had your children. When you were young, when you were a teenager, everything that your children, all the characteristics, all the attributes of them was already in you. It was in your DNA. It was already inside of you, just waiting to be expressed. But you and I didn't know what was in us. We didn't know the children that were in us, but God did. Before the foundation of the world, God had his children in him. He had the attributes of his children in him. But God knew who they were. And God so desired to fellowship with his children. You see, God desired so much that his children could be expressed so that he could fellowship with his children. And friends, when we take Christianity to anything else but a relationship with God, we've missed the point. Because the whole purpose that we have been expressed as the sons and daughters of God is God desires fellowship with us. God desires to be glorified in us, the prophet says. But it's for fellowship. God wanted to see manifest in flesh, in reality, that which was in him. He knew you. He knew the color of your eyes. He knew what you were going to become. And God so much longed and desired to fellowship with his children. He so much wanted to express that fatherhood that we're speaking about. But he needed to bring his sons and his daughters into a material form. And then God says, that's it. So God had Adam inside of himself. God knew Adam. The Bible says God knew all of his parts, everything about him before he was made, before he was wrought there in the secret place where all of these things are done, in the womb. God knew Adam. And God knew that Adam was there. And even when God was dwelling on his own as Elohim, he never wanted to dwell on his own. He always wanted to dwell with his family. He wanted to see the expression of his sons and his daughters so that he could fellowship with his sons and his daughters. And then he has Adam inside of himself. And then in due season, as eternity unfolds into time, here comes Adam on the scene. And God now sees expressed before him that which he had hidden up inside of his bosom. These genes of God, the sum, these attributes that God had inside of himself, God now sees them manifest before him. And God says, it's good. This is my son. And God now can fellowship with his son. And the son now can express himself and start to express these attributes that he's received from his father. And he can start to express himself to his father and express himself about his father's business and the various things that Adam was put on the earth to do. But everything that Adam was supposed to do was put in him when he was made. All the attributes, everything that God ever wanted Adam to be and to do, came from God and went into Adam. Adam never had to manufacture anything. Adam never had to impersonate anybody else. Adam just needed to express these attributes that God had put inside of himself. And as he expressed these attributes, God says, that's it. Adam, you name the animals. And he has this an expression of his sonship and he names them. And then God says, that's it. That's my boy. That's exactly what I would have called him as well. That's exactly. And he says, that's an elephant. Yes, Adam, that's my boy. That's an expression exactly of what I would have done as well. And everything that Adam's doing, because it's lining up with the very desire that God had to be expressed, God says, it's good. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And that's where Adam had his authority. That's where Adam had his dominion. And all of that was he had this relationship. And he was now expressing this which was in God, which God now had placed into Adam. This started now, these attributes that God had were now being expressed in Adam as a son. And God says, this is wonderful. And then the devil says, I'm not going to leave it like this. And then sin comes in the camp. And then now we find the problem in the genealogy is because it says Adam was the son of God. But it says Seth is the son of Adam. And that's where all the problems started now. Seth wasn't directly from God anymore. Seth was from Adam. So Adam falls and creation falls and is subject now to the bondage that it's in. And we find now that instead of Adam, when he received these genes, these how many chromosomes he received from God in the creation, every one of them was perfect. Every one of them was positive. Every one of them was an attribute that God wanted this man to express. But now, because man has fallen and sin has come in, and there's the power of, not transformation, the prophet says, the power of deformation. The devil comes to deform. Now you find Seth inherits now from his father Adam certain characteristics that aren't good. Certain attributes that are going to be expressed that are not what God had inside of his mind. And it's the same as us, naturally speaking. We inherit attributes which we're not supposed to express. Some people have an addictive personality. Some people have the potential when they're born that if they're not careful, it's very easy for them to be addictive. Addicted to things. Other people have certain characteristics inside that they're very vulnerable to certain types of diseases. Now, those are not things that you want to inherit, but we inherited that from Adam because he fell. We inherited that from our natural father, and we never chose those things. Those attributes were just passed down. As we were expressed and came into the flesh, we received these attributes. And now some of them are good and some of them are bad. And we have to prevail and overcome over some of these things. But God from the beginning, he desired fatherhood. And God, the only way he could express his fatherhood, he had to create someone that had the attributes of sonship. Now Adam had all the attributes of sonship at first. He was an obedient son. He was about his father's business. He did nothing unless the father first showed him. All of those attributes were attributes of sonship. And as long as Jehovah himself, God now dwelling with his family, as long as God himself was expressing his attributes of fatherhood to Adam, Adam in turn was expressing these attributes of sonship back to Jehovah. And God says, this is good. And friends, it's a key there even in our natural families. When we fully express fatherhood to our children, there's a far better chance they're going to properly express sonship back to us. Because the Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. So love is not something which we, to love God isn't something that God asks us to crank ourselves up to do. Us loving God is the natural response to that great attribute of God loving us. So that attribute of fatherhood, of his love for us, his unconditional love, that unconditional love that God expresses to us, we naturally, it expresses an attribute inside of us that we love him back in return. Somebody once said, and it's the truth. He said, tonight, if you love God, it's an absolute proof that God loves you. Because the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. So if I love God tonight, it's an absolute proof he loves me. Otherwise, I would never have loved him. My love to him is a response of his love to me. It's a result of that. And friends, this one of fatherhood and sonship, they're so closely connected. That's why if you grow up under a father who's not showing real fatherhood, it's very difficult for you really to express sonship or to really show daughterhood or whatever you want to call it. To really, really express the attributes. They may be in you. Because when you're born in this world, God puts inside of every one of us the potential to express sonship. The potential to be a husband or a wife. The potential to be a son or a daughter. There's like these attributes inside of us. But it needs the right kind of an environment. It needs the right kind of attributes being displayed to us to nurture and to bring these things out so they can be displayed in the right way. And Satan's always going to try to pervert that. You know, take people away if they're not getting the real thing like we said the other week. But each of these things, God expressing his attributes of fatherhood, Adam now is expressing the attributes of sonship. And Adam being a son of God, one of the attributes of sonship, you have an inheritance. Every son has an inheritance. Every father desires to leave an inheritance for his sons, for his daughters, for his children. How about God? And the firstborn has a double inheritance in the Bible, a double portion of the inheritance. And the Bible says that we have come unto the church of the firstborn. So our relationship in Christ, God has given us an inheritance. And the prophet says, one part of our inheritance is eternal life. But there's many other things that were part of Adam's inheritance. He was given the world. He was given dominion. All the things that Adam had as his inheritance, he just had to remain a son. That's all he had to do. He just had to stay in the spirit of sonship. That's all he was asked to do. And everything that God had put in Adam was going to express itself progressively more and more and more. Everything which was just a potential in Adam was going to be expressed over time. As he stayed in the right atmosphere, as he stayed in fellowship, as God expressed more revelation, as God expressed more fatherhood to him, there was going to be more of this expression of sonship coming from Adam. But the moment that Adam brought himself out from genuine sonship, because a son, what is to be a son? Jesus showed us what a perfect son is. He showed us sonship. Jesus says, I do nothing unless my father shows me first. So Adam, when he came out from that and he started doing things that his father never showed him first, he came out from sonship. He came out from under the headship of his father. Therefore, he was out of the spirit of sonship. And that's when he started to get himself in trouble. Friends, God, there's nothing that will overtake you and I as long as we stay in the spirit of sonship. If we just continue in the spirit of real sonship, it doesn't matter what comes. God has predestinated, put the attributes inside of us to overcome anything that comes our way, as long as we stay in our position as sons. And the prophet says it here. He says, so were you, sons and daughters of God, before there was even a moon, stars, or a molecule. So you were a son or a daughter of God before there was a molecule made. That's the wonderful thing about this issue of sonship. It's nothing to do with time. It's nothing to do with the instrumentality of flesh and blood. This is the program of God that we're speaking about. This is the predestinated program of God. That's what we're speaking about here. This is something that God planned, God ordained, right before there was a molecule. And God knew you. If you are a son of God, you are a daughter of God, God knew you then. God knew every aspect of you. God knew exactly who you would be. You were in him. You were spiritually, the prophet says, your soul was the spiritual gene of God. So that soul, that spiritual life in you, not the flesh. This flesh came from mammals, like the prophet, made in the image of mammals. This flesh isn't in the image of God. But that soul, that spiritual something inside of you there, it's a gene of God. That soul was in God. It was one of those attributes, spiritual attributes in God before there was a molecule. And God knew all about you. You know what God wanted? He wanted to put you in flesh so that you could be manifest. Why? So that he could have fellowship with you. So that he could reveal himself to you. So that you could reveal and express sonship back to him. That's what he wanted, friends. And if you want to get a blessing, show sonship back to God. Sonship includes obedience. Jesus was always subordinate to his father. He never put himself above his father. The Bible says, though he was in the form of God, he never counted it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself a servant. He realized that this time I have to be subject. And that was why that's perfect sonship. And Jesus, the Bible says, he was always about his father's business. The Bible says, the zeal of my father's house has eaten me up. He was consumed. He had one desire. It's my father's house. It's my father's business. That was the thing that was foremost. No matter what it was going to cost him, no matter the suffering he was going to have to go through, no matter if he became unpopular, no matter if all of the people he came to his own received him not. Even if they all turned him down, even if they all misunderstood him, it doesn't matter. Jesus was going to stay a son. He was going to stay in the spirit of sonship. And being in the spirit of sonship means you're subject to your father. Even when the going gets tough, even when you're going through the darkness of the valley and you don't understand where's this path leading me, sonship, you trust your father. When Jesus was in Gethsemane, as we saw the other week, what does he pray? He says, Abba, Father. Dear Father, if it be possible, Abba, Papa. Papa, if it's possible for this cup to pass from me, let it pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be. And friends, that is sonship. And if we want to be sons, we need to be imitating the son. He's the perfect son. He's the role model. The prophet says, Davy Crockett isn't the role model for our children. All of these other characters there in Hollywood, the fallen stars, they're not the role models. There's only one role model, and that's Jesus. And we've got to keep correctly representing Jesus to our sons and daughters, because that's the role model of sonship. That's what a real son is. And nobody's ever met Jesus. Nobody's ever fellowshipped with Jesus. Nobody that's ever read about Jesus in any spiritual manner can but desire to be like Jesus. You want to be like him. When you see him and the way he conducted himself and his humility, we see, you know, his sonship that he expressed. Though he had such a dominion, though he had such authority, though he had such privilege because he was the Son of God. He was the Word made flesh. He was the fullness of all of God's attributes in a body. But he never grasped that and used that for his glory. The devil came to him, remember, and said, if you are the Son of God, turn the stones into me. You see, and the devil's going to come to us as well. But it doesn't matter how much the devil tempted him, Jesus never left the realm of sonship. He says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shall you worship. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Turn the stones into bread. Cast yourself from the temple. All manner of temptation. But there was nothing that could move him from the spirit of sonship. Friends, that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. And to us, because the devil shakes us sometimes and we step out of our parameters that we should as believers. And we say, but hey, God couldn't bless that. God couldn't bless that. But if you get yourself back in line and you get yourself in the spirit of sonship, watch the spirit of fatherhood express itself to you in a blessing. He will bless you because that's what he's always desired. He's wanted to fellowship with us. He's wanted us to be in that genuine spirit of sonship. Ever since before time, before there was a molecule, God has been waiting to see the expression of his sons and daughters on earth. But when we come on earth, he wants us to come into that sonship, spirit of sonship, so we can express all these attributes we inherited from our Father. So we can start now to express the things that our Father has put in our hands to express as well. So the prophet says it, you are sons and daughters of God, for you are only the physical manifestation of the attributes that were in God in the beginning. And friends, if we really catch even a half a revelation of this, we're going to look at each other a lot differently than we did before. Because if I'm a son of God and you a son of God, how can we do some of the things that we do to one another? How can we speak about each other the way that we do? How can we do some of these things? That's a son of God. This isn't just Brother Tony. Ah, just Brother Tony. No. God never knew said that. Before there was a molecule, God was saying, I want my son to be expressed. I want a fellowship with my son. I want to give my son an inheritance. I want to lead him to his inheritance. I want to bless my son, and I want my son to be a blessing. That's what God desires. And if I'm in tune with God, I'm going to desire the same thing as well. I'm going to want Tony to be a blessing. I'm going to want him to inherit his inheritance as well. I'm going to do whatever I can in my little way to try to help him along the way, so that he can achieve the purpose of my Father. Because if his Father is God and my Father is God, we have the same Father. That makes us brothers. That puts us in a very exclusive family. Yes, Prince George. He was born in a privileged family this week. There, whatever the name is, you know, Brother Prince William's son. And it's good. You must respect that. That's the earth. Respect the family line of those things. He was born in a privileged family. But you and I have a far more privileged family. And if we could catch a spiritual revelation of that, friends, we'd be very careful what we say about each other. We'd be very careful with the way we conduct ourselves one to another. Because this is God's son. And friends, if you want to make me angry, do something wrong to my son. Do something wrong to my children. You may do things wrong to me and I might keep quiet, but you go and be cruel to Daniel. You be cruel to Benjamin and see I'm coming on the scene with anger in my eyes. And you're going to see, I've never seen this man like this. And that's the truth. And you're going to do the same to your children as well. You're almost going to kill somebody if they abuse your children, naturally speaking. How much more the Heavenly Father? That's an attribute of fatherhood. Because we love our children so much, they're attributes that came from us. How can somebody touch my son and my daughter? How much more when you touch the sons and daughters of God? Why do you think God smites Egypt with 10 plagues? Amen. Smites the firstborn of Egypt. Why? Because they touched God's firstborn. God said, Israel is my firstborn. Israel was born of God. They weren't born of the will of man. That was a nation that was born of God to express the attributes of God as a nation. That was his son. And the moment that you touched Israel, even up to today, the EU and all these things, they're playing around with this week. Watch out, friends. Judgment is on the way. Because they're playing around with the son of God, Israel, and they're playing around with the inheritance that God gave to Israel, his son, which is his land. They wanted to take the land. They're trying to say, you can't build in East Jerusalem or whatever, or in Samaria and the different places, West Bank, they call it. God doesn't worry about those things. God said, Israel's my son, and his inheritance is right to the river Euphrates, right to the sea at the going down of the sun, right down to the river Nile. They've never, even in the days of Solomon and David, inherited their full inheritance yet. They've never possessed it. In the millennium, they're going to have it. Right to the river Euphrates, right to Damascus, past there, right to Baghdad, just about. That will belong. That's the inheritance that God has for his son Israel. And whoever plays around with that, God's anger, God's judgment is manifest. It's very important, that principle of what we do to the sons and daughters of God. The prophet says, if you want to show love to me, do something good for my children. That's why there's going to be people, friends, who are going to inherit eternal life at the white throne. What for? Because of what they did to the sons and daughters of God. They never had eternal life. They're given white robes and they're even surprised. Say, but why am I going into eternal life? Say, because you did it. If you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You cannot even give a glass of water to a son or daughter of God and lose your reward. That's how much God loves and esteems his sons and his daughters. And now, this attribute, friends, this gene of God that God has put inside of us, we're holding this treasure in earthen vessels. So sometimes the earthen vessel is going to get tired. Sometimes the earthen vessel in some people is going to lose its temper. Sometimes the earthen vessel in other people is going to be lazy. Sometimes the earthen vessel is going to let you down, not pay you back at the time which they said, and things like that. But don't look at the flesh. Look beyond the veil, because beyond the veil is an attribute of God. Is a son or a daughter of God. If that person is showing forth from within the veil the attributes of sonship, my friend, you respect that person, God's going to respect you. There's a great reward when we respect the sons and daughters of God. The prophet says, we're the physical manifestation of those attributes of God that were in God in the beginning. He says, you don't know nothing about it. Daniel can't remember when he was in me. I can't remember when I was in God. You can't remember when you were in God. But God remembers when you were in him. That's the difference. God has never had a new thought about anything. God's thoughts are eternal. So those thoughts that God had for Adam, those thoughts that God had for you, they're eternal thoughts. They're substance, the prophet says. There was a substance in God. You were in there, spiritually speaking, you were substance in God. And in due season, God dropped that down into flesh. And now you start to express in your due season the attributes of your father as well. That's what God has called us to do. That is what sonship is about. Now listen to what the prophet says. Neither did you know when you were in your earthly father, but you are manifested in his image. In the image of God are you made, and you are manifested for the glory and the fellowship of God. So there's two parts that God has brought us forth to do. We're to glorify him. Amen. We're to glory. We're to show how glorious he is. Hallelujah. We're to show how glorious his word is. We're to glorify him. And the prophet says, we're to fellowship with him. God brought us forth to fellowship with us. And friends, there's nothing sweeter than fellowship with him. And you find a believer, like I've always said, becomes a difficult person to live with when they're not fellowshipping with their father. And it has to be like that. Because the very purpose of your being here is to fellowship with your father. So when you're out of tune with your father, you're going to be like the prodigal son down there when he was out of tune, out of fellowship with his father. You're never going to be yourself. There's going to be behavior that you're going to be surprised to see that the son of such a father behaving like this. Friends, it's incredible the behavior that sometimes we can do, yet having an attribute of God in us. When you get out of fellowship with our father, we can go right down in the mud sometimes and do things that we just wish the veil to our deeds of the past will never be opened. It's surprising what we as sons and daughters of God can do. But God doesn't look at those things. Because God doesn't look at time. God looks from eternity. God has already made a provision for those things. Now, listen what he says in Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy. He says, if you are a son or a daughter of God, you are in God all the time. But he knew what bed and what time you'd be planted. So that seed, that soul that was in God, God looked down right through the ages. He looked from eternity and he says, I'm not going to put them in that first Exodus. I'm not going to put them in the days of David, the kingdom. David was his son as well, the Bible says. I'm not going to put them in the days of the disciples. I'm not going to put them in the days of Paul. But God looked down through time and says, when am I going to allow this seed, the soul that's in me, my son, to be expressed? And God chose the end time. And God says, these particular genes of mine, I'm going to put them in the end time. And the prophet says, the time and the place. So we're not here just by chance, friends. Unless you're really out of tune with God. Unless you're Jonah and you're in Tarshish, yet you should be in Nineveh. And you'll soon find out about it because you'll have a lot of storms in your life. But if you really are walking with God, my friend, you're in the right place. Because God chose the time and the place for that soul, that seed of God, that gene to be dropped down in flesh and to be manifest. And you know what God did? What Papa did? Papa God, he looked down through time. And he says, in every age, there's my business that needs to be looked after. Imagine that. God looked down through time and says, in the end time, there in Dublin, there's my business needs to be looked after. Hallelujah. There's some attributes that need to be expressed. Hey? And God says, let me search around. Let me find these people. And he takes these various souls, this various substance that was in him, and he holds them back. Pushes the other ones down through time, allows them to be expressed, to be about his business in Paul's day, be about his business in the great missionary age, be about his business in the days of Azusa Street. But in the end time, God says, I've got some special business. And he drops your soul down at this time, in this place, so that you can manifest certain attributes. Friends, that's a wonderful program. You know, there's not much of my ability that I'm seeing in this yet. There's not too much of my choice yet that I'm seeing here. There's not too much of works that I've got to do and merit points that I've got to achieve and attain in order for this to take place. You know, I've got one responsibility. That's to stay in the Spirit. As long as I stay in the Spirit, everything that God, every attribute that he put inside of me, because if God is going to send me to do business for him and he's going to send you to care for his business, God's going to put the attributes required to do that business in you. Amen. Exactly. If a son is going to be born to survive in this earth, God has made sure that in those, that DNA, in those chromosomes, there's certain chromosomes which bring hunger. There's certain ones that bring thirst. There's certain ones that bring forth an immune system to protect that child, you know, from disease. There's all of these attributes. In order for a child to grow, there's already a defense mechanism. There's something in the genes that were predestined and God put inside of there so that child could be protected and could develop and go all the way to express the fullness of what a child is supposed to express. How much more spiritually speaking? Everything that God has called you to do, those attributes are already in you. They're potential inside of you. They're potential inside of me. And when you and I get in the Spirit and we're walking in the Spirit of sonship, we find those attributes start to express themselves more and more. Start to express themselves more and more. But when you get out of the Spirit, it seems those attributes don't manifest themselves. They don't declare themselves very much. But they're there. They're laying latent inside of somebody. Now listen to what he says here in Modern Events. He says, he knew what bed and time that you would be planted. So now you made a creature, a son of God, a manifest son or daughter of God, listen, to meet the challenge of this hour. Hey, so God knew the conditions of this day. And God knew, my son, my daughter, I'm putting them down there. I'm putting them in perilous times. I'm putting them there in the darkest hour. I'm putting them there where deception, where the whole world's going to worship the beast, except for those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So God, knowing that we're coming down to face up to these conditions, the prophet says, God put inside of us, inside of that soul that was in God, all of the attributes required to meet the challenge of this hour. Friends, that really encourages me. Because I just have one responsibility. Pray and read my Bible. And read the message. Stay in fellowship with my Father. Stay in fellowship with my brothers and my sisters as much as I can. Just be a son. That's all I've got to be. And God has put every attribute inside of you, inside of me, to meet the challenge of this hour. That's why you find there's other ones, the prophet says, that are not ordained to this. They try to come to the message. Doesn't take long before they, boom, they burst. There's too much pressure. They weren't the sons and daughters of God, friends. The good thing about God, God has attributes of mercy. And the attributes of mercy are available to anybody. Whosoever will, let him come. So anybody can be saved. But not everybody is a son and daughter of God. That's the goodness of God. That's the bounty of God. Whosoever will, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But not whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord is a son or daughter of God. That's why there's other people live outside of the city there. New city. There's other people that come in or given eternal life at the white throne. They weren't sons and daughters of God. They were for another purpose. They achieved their purpose. But God in his grace extends salvation. There's warning then judgment. Before God sends anybody to judgment, he first gives them a warning. He even gives Cain a chance. He says, Cain, if you'll do like your brother, I'll accept you. See the grace of God, the mercy of God. But there was nothing in Cain. Cain didn't have a soul. The prophet says Cain had the place for a soul, but he didn't have a soul because he was the serpent seed. There was nothing in him to respond to his father because God wasn't his father. But every one of the sons and daughters of God, there's something in you. It'll lie dormant in there maybe for 20 years. It might lie dormant some people 50 years. But in due season, when God's manifestation comes your way, that attribute of God says, Papa, that's my daddy. That's what I've always been looking for. Something comes to life inside of you that was always laying there. You went through denominationalism. You went through all types of religions. You may have tried all manner of things. It never brought that attribute to life. But the moment you came across the message of the hour, ta, that comes to life. That shows that you're a son and daughter of God. Because the sons of God recognize God in the day. Because we are sons, we recognize our Father. Because we are sons, we recognize his manifestation. Because we are sons, we recognize his message. We recognize his program. We recognize the work that needs to be done. That's because we are sons. We never forced ourselves to do it. Did you force yourself, Brother Mike, to see the message? I never did either. Just when the message came, I just, hey, I've never seen anything like this in my life. It was an earthquake inside of my life. I couldn't but believe it. No one has to persuade me to believe. I just believed it. There was just something inside of me that said, this is it. And like Brother Billy Paul says, when I found my wife, I stopped looking. And when we found this message, we stopped looking. Because this is what that attribute was always looking for. We tried different things, but they could never fit. We were the eagles in the chicken yard, friends. We tried the cluck of the chicken, but one day there was the cry of Mama Eagle. And then something came to life. Why? Because we were eagles. There was something inside of us as we're not ordained to this. That's my mama. I've never seen her before, but that cry, something inside of me responds to the cry. That's how you know whether you're a son or daughter of God. A son of God, when God's voice comes your way. Jesus said, my sheep, they hear my voice, they know my voice. They don't follow strangers. You just hear the voice of your father. Why? Because you're a son. There's those attributes in you, and this voice of your father wakens the attribute of a son inside of you. That's how you know. That's one of the attributes of being a son and daughter of God. God put that inside of his sons and daughters. That's God's way of protecting his people. That's God's way of getting his work done. He puts these attributes. God takes from his genes and he puts the genes in a certain way inside of Brother Mike, puts genes inside of Brother Jose, Brother Egan, myself, the sisters, every one of us. God has put different gene potentials That's why some have a gift of faith. Some have a speaking in tongues, some interpretation of tongues, some are ministers, some are given to prayer, some are given to administrations. That's the attributes that God put inside of your spiritual gene. And when you just get in the Spirit, when the Holy Ghost comes and waters that seed, it starts to express its potentials. It starts to bring forth of its own kind. And what it brings forth in your life is going to be different. We're going to have certain attributes common, just as much as I have three children. They all have certain attributes common, but they have other ones that are different. Because you're not all supposed to be the same. Same in the kingdom of God. There's certain attributes you all have in common. All the children of God hear the message of the hour. That's one that you're going to have in common. All the children of God do the will of their Father. That's another attribute you're going to have in common. But you're going to have maybe certain spiritual manifestations, things you're supposed to manifest in your calling, which I'm not supposed to call. Some people, like I say, have a gift of faith. They just have a pulsation of divine energy down the channel of faith. They can believe for things that you and I have to really crank ourselves up to believe. Amen. We have to build ourselves up to get to that place. Amen. Other people, it's just ordained in them. It's just part of the spiritual gene that's inside of them. But God has balanced the things out, the attributes, pretty fairly. Amen. Because God has given to every man certain attributes, to every woman attributes, so that God can be expressed and so that God can be glorified and so that we can fellowship with Him in this day. That's inside of all the sons and daughters of God. And as you walk in the Spirit, that's why I said never manufacture anything. Don't try to pull things out of God. The prophet says, why do we need to? Just get in the Spirit. Everything that you're supposed to be is in you. From before there was a molecule, spiritually speaking, it's just waiting for the quickening power to come and quicken it and activate it. That's all that it needs. So just get yourself humble before the Lord. Get yourself prayed up. Feed your soul on the Word. Get in the Spirit of sonship. Subject yourself to your Father. Say, Father, I want to be about your business. Father, I want to glorify your name. And see how God will now start to activate Him. Those attributes will start to manifest themselves. Everything else will take care of itself. So the prophet says, you made a son of God. Manifested son or daughter of God to meet the challenge of this hour and to vindicate the true and living God of this hour. So God wants to vindicate Himself. God wants to show that He's real. And friends, the best way that He's going to do it is through attributes that He puts in us. And then people are going to see, but hey, there's something different about that person. I know other Christians, but there's something different about this. There's something genuine here. There's something real. There's something of the old-fashioned New Testament times in this person. And people that are hungry and thirsting for something real, when they meet you and you walking in the Spirit, manifesting the attributes of God, although they may not be fully expressed as yet, because it's a progression. Your son and daughter don't express all their attributes straight away. They have to learn to write. They have to go to school. They have to learn different things. And then finally you come to maturity. And then the child starts to manifest as an adult and starts to have children themselves and manifest motherhood, manifest fatherhood in their turn. Exactly the same with you and I. That's why Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, my son, stir up the gift of God that is within you. You go and see what that means. It means let that gift that's in you be expressed in all of its various faculties. Saying, Timothy, you're doing a good job. Yes, you're expressing things like this, but there's more attributes inside of there. Let all those attributes manifest themselves. And friends, I think it would be wonderful if we encourage our children and we encourage one another to express these attributes that are in them. I think that's one of the great things of fatherhood. If we could nurture out those real attributes in our children. There's certain attributes, genes in them that we need to teach them to suppress. Because there's certain harmful things they're going to naturally manifest. But there's certain things inside of them in that gene pool they've inherited from us that are the right kind of things. Because they also predestinated, like we saw on Sunday. So we need to nurture those things. Those characteristics that we see lead to godliness. Those characteristics that will bring about the development of that child. If we can nurture those things along. I really do believe that's what Father is about. Because that's what God does to us. He looks at those characteristics inside of us that we're supposed to manifest. And God encourages us in those things. You make a little step and God will bless you. And then you say, Hey, God was happier. Then you make a bigger step, then he blesses it. What's God doing? He's showing you, this is the way that I want you to go. This is an attribute you need to work on to develop. But maybe there's other things that we weren't supposed to do. No, sometimes we think we're supposed to do things, but God never ordained us to do them. It's just our zeal. And we try to do it and there's no blessing. Now, sometimes it's good just to realize that that wasn't an attribute of God. That was just our zeal. That was just our enthusiasm. But God, for each and every one of us, there's certain things he's ordained us to express in his kingdom to be about his business. So the prophet says we're to vindicate God. He says, that's right. Then the prophet says, but if you weren't chosen that way, no matter how much you try to impersonate it, you'll never make it. You see, this whole thing of the kingdom of God, it's not impersonation. The prophet was told the third pool, there'd be no impersonation to it. You can't impersonate this relationship with God. This third pool relationship, the fullness of sonship and the fullness of fatherhood coming together as it was in Eden, as it was in Jesus, that brings a third pool every time. You can't impersonate. Either you have a real relationship with God, either you have a real spirit of sonship or you don't. Because that's what's going to depend our fullness of our inheritance, is how much we are in the spirit of sonship. And when we're fully expressing sonship like Jesus did, God takes him to Mount Transfiguration. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Shine him. And then the glory that was in him shines forth. Friends, that's the secret tool. I believe that. I believe it's not pulling things out of God. I believe it's a deeper relationship with him. We should be seeking to know him more. We should be seeking a deeper revelation of our Father. A deeper revelation of, Papa, what do you want of me? What do you want me to do? Jesus says, I always do that which pleases my Father. So obviously Jesus knew what pleased his Father. He knew what he was supposed to do and he did it with all his heart. He goes there, takes the whip, whips him out of the temple. And the people say, what a temper this guy has. And Jesus says, do you not know that it's written, the zeal of my Father's house has eaten me up. Friends, a holy zeal, a righteous zeal. To be about your Father's business. That's the spirit of sonship. The manifestation of that zeal. And when God looks down on that, he says, I'm well pleased. That's my boy. He's doing it exactly the way that I would have done it. That's what God wants. Jesus says, my Father works, and I work hitherto. My Father first does the work. I watch how Papa does it. And then I go and do the same thing as Papa. And that's the way we need to teach our children as well. They see us praying. And then they come and they say, Daddy, teach me how to pray. Or we learn, teach him how to pray. That's our God, his fatherhood towards Jesus, his son. Jesus says, I first see what my Father does, and I go and do the same thing. When Jesus healed that man on the Sabbath, remember, the man picked up his bed, and all of the righteous Jews came and said, you've broken the Sabbath. Jesus says, it's not my fault. My Father does good works on the Sabbath. Damn, I'm going to do the same as my daddy. I don't care what you say, I'm going to do what my daddy does. That's a real spirit of sonship. That's why he got in trouble. He says, my Father heals on the Sabbath. Therefore, I can heal on the Sabbath as well. Friends, that's really what sonship is. When your son's looking at you and say, I want to be like my daddy. Because you're reflecting a real fatherhood. And then you do a certain thing and your son comes and does the same thing. Wouldn't that please you? When you see your son, those righteous things that God has expressed through you. When you see your son now starting to walk in the same way. Friends, that's what God wants of us. That's the spirit of sonship. That's what he's desiring from us. So, let's just come to a close. Take a little bit further. So, I'm just saying, don't try to impersonate. So, God had this desire for fellowship. The prophet says it in Rapture. He says, my son sitting here, when I was 16 years old, my son was in me. I didn't know him, but he was there. But now through a bedding ground, through holy wedlock, he becomes the image of me. I know him. I can now fellowship with him. And he came just at the time when it was the right time. We were born for such a time as this. That's what it was said in the book of Esther. We were born for this age. That's why the Bible says God will never put upon you more than you're able to bear. Because anything he puts upon you, he's already put the genes spiritually in you to meet the challenge of what he puts upon you. You just got to get in the spirit. That's all that he wants. When the rest of Israel was saying, hey, this challenge of Goliath is too big. There was someone that had the attributes inside of them to meet the challenge of the hour. And he had the Spirit upon him. That was the difference. That's why he looked and says, it's not my battle here. The Lord's going to deliver you into my hands. Because he was born for that. It was the season for that. It was David's inheritance to manifest those attributes just in that season. God will never put you and I to a challenge, friends, that he hasn't ordained the solution already in us. He's put the attributes in us, but you've got to be in the Spirit. You've got to be walking with him, and everything else will take care of itself. Life may seem to go upside down, but just wait. Just wait in the Spirit of sonship and see how it comes out right in the end. And see how God is glorified. Maybe he's trying to teach you something. Maybe he's trying to instruct us as a good father would. But just wait and see. Let things run their full course. Now, there's quite a number of things. I'll just take a few of them. Maybe we'll continue on Sunday. But because we are sons, let's think of a few of these things which are the result of us being sons or available to us as sons. Now, because we are sons, God made a provision for us before the foundation of the world. Because we're sons. We were so precious in God that God says, I'm never going to risk letting my sons and my daughters be manifest in the flesh in time until first I make a provision for them. And the Bible says the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The prophet says when God spoke you spiritually in that, the spoken word in that time, in himself, God in the great counsel of himself, God thought of you. He says, God straightaway slew the lamb in his mind. Because God knew, I'm not going to risk my sons and my daughters. Before my sons and my daughters are expressed in temptation in the days of their flesh, I'm going to make a perfect provision for them first. How about you and I? Do you think we ever, if we're putting our sons and our daughters in a position of danger, do you think we're not going to do everything we possibly can to defend them? The prophet says, if I knew that Joseph was going to be in danger and I knew 20 feet of concrete would save him, I'd build 40 feet of concrete just in case. How much more God? Friends, God will never lose his sons and his daughters. God already made a provision for us. And you know what God did to his sons and his daughters? You know who he put us in the hands of? In the hands of our big brother Jesus. Amen. Remember Jesus when he prayed the high priest prayer that day? He said, Father, all that you've given me, they were thine. And you gave them to me. And I've lost none of them. Amen. Friends, we are in his hands. We are his responsibility. The sons and daughters of God were given to the great son. And that's why he's been the high priest through the ages making intercession. That's why he shed his blood on our behalf. That's why the spirit of his son comes to us to tutor us, to watch over us. Day by day, his eye is ever upon us. Amen. Why? Because we're the sons and daughters of God. And there's nothing more precious to God than his sons and his daughters. We may be nothing to the world like the scripture we read. The world didn't recognize Jesus, the Son of God. The fullness of sonship. How about us? It's never going to recognize us. But heaven recognizes us. Amen. Friends, I watched that documentary about all those penguins there. I don't know what it's called. The March of the Penguins or whatever. It's quite interesting. And how those mother penguins, they lay an egg. And there's millions of them in that place. And they lay an egg. And then that little penguin is born. And then the father now has to look after that baby while the mother goes right the way to the sea, a week's of journey to go and get fish from the sea once again. Because where they hatched, is right in the middle of this glacier. And it's far from the source of food. So the father first goes when the mother looks after the egg and gets enough food and comes back. And then the mother now gives the egg to the father. And then the mother goes now and gets the food. And they keep doing this. And then the little penguin is born. And then the mother now listens to the cry of the penguin. Now, there's literally millions of penguins there. It's just a mass of penguins. And the mother just listens, and the father's ordained just at that time to come back. And then the mother now is about to die of hunger. So the mother listens to the cry of the penguin and goes off on this week, couple of weeks march to go and get food once again. She goes, gets all the fish and all that from the sea, comes back. Now it's maybe a month, 2 months down the way. And she comes back, and the father's already desperate. He hasn't had enough food. He leaves the little penguin and goes off himself because he needs food. And here comes the mother penguin, and she comes in the midst of this great multitude of baby penguins. And she hears the cry of her baby. She can distinguish the cry of her baby from all of you. Watch that. It's a tremendous documentary. And she listens, and she finds exactly her child. How much more the cry of a child of God? Bartimaeus, there was no way Jesus could have heard his cry. With all the noise that was going on, but it was a spiritual cry. There was a cry of a son of God saying, Papa, I need you to help me at this time. And Jesus stood still. And friends, heaven stands still when the genuine sons of God cry from their souls and say, Papa, I need your help now. It's the truth, and you know the manifestation inside of your own life. You may not be able to pray with a loud voice, but it's not the voice. It's the gene in you crying out to Papa, crying out saying, Father, I need you to help me. Am I going to perish? And he'll always help you. So because we are sons, God has made such a provision for us, friends. Just as much as we'll make a provision. Are you ever going to leave this life if you have to go by the way of the grave and say, I don't care where my children are going to stay? You're going to leave an inheritance for them. If you can, you're going to leave them homes. You're going to leave them land. You're going to leave them some money in the bank. You're going to make sure they get a good education, that they get themselves on a sound footing, that they get themselves well married. You're going to do everything you can. Fatherhood and motherhood demands that of you. There's a deep inside of you that will never leave your sons and daughters. Just to be orphans when you've gone. What kind of a father would that be? What kind of a mother would that be? How about our Heavenly Father? Friends, he's made every provision for his sons and daughters of God. We may not realize, but he has. He's made every kind of provision that he possibly can. Because we are sons, our names were written in heaven before the foundation of the world. They weren't written in just the book of life, which is just a record of life. They were written in that portion of the book where only the sons and daughters are written. The Lamb's book of life. And no name can ever be blotted from the Lamb's book of life. Names can be blotted from the book of life, we know it. But there's a certain section, the prophet says, of the book of life. That's the Lamb's book of life. Sometimes he calls it another book, but that's the Lamb's book of life. And before God allowed his attributes to be manifest in the flesh, God went and recorded all those names there. And God ain't finishing this great program until every one of those names has been accounted for. The great shepherd is not going to rejoice until every one of the lost sheep is back. And when he counts his sheep, there's 100. Then he closes up and says, that's it. And darkness comes. And that's exactly the way that is with God. Now the prophet says, he says, because we are sons, we are redeemable. Because redemption is only available to the sons and daughters of God. It's only the elect that can be redeemed. Like I said, other people can be saved. Other people can make a deathbed confession. God will forgive them of their sin because of the bounty of his mercy. But the plan of redemption, what the Lamb has done in redemption, was for the sons and daughters of God. That's why the rapture is only for the sons and daughters of God. And every one of the sons and daughters of God will be in the rapture. God will never allow his children in a tribulation period. Never. He's made a provision for them. They're the most precious of his thoughts. The rapture is God's provision for his sons and his daughters. That's why somebody asked the prophet in the seals book, said, do children go in the rapture? He says, yes, if they're predestinated. That's a very interesting answer. He says, yes, they'll go if the predestinated go in the rapture, friends. This isn't us cranking ourselves up. We've just got to be in the spirit of sonship. We've just got to be about our Father's business. We've just got to be walking with God. That's all that he wants. That's all that he desires. And that's all that you and I desire. So he can never lose us. Because we are sons, we taught of our Father. The prophet says, the Father, when he has a son that he loves, he gets the best tutor that he can find. And he puts his beloved son under a tutor. The best. So that tutor can teach him the ways of his Father, of the Father. To handle things the way that the Father does. And friends, for God to put you under the message of the hour. In each age, there were seven spirits before the throne of God. The prophet says, the sevenfold Holy Ghost. He says those the spirits of those seven messengers. And God sent those seven spirits of God, one to each age. What for? To tutor his sons and his daughters. That was God's defense. God says, I need to teach my sons and my daughters. And that's why God, he calls every single one of his sons and daughters under the message of the hour. God makes a provision for them. He sends a message to every age. And he teaches and instructs his sons and his daughters. That's for you to really believe this message with all your heart. It shows you are a son and daughter of God. What other evidence do you want that you are a son or daughter of God? You heard the voice of your father. You love your father. You love his word. You love his manifestation. You love to see his life expressed. You love his other children, your brothers and your sisters. That's how John says it in the Epistle of John. This is how we know we've passed from death to life. Because we love the brethren. Because we love our brothers and our sisters. Let's just finish off with a couple more here. Hebrews chapter 12, Paul tells us. We'll read it from verse 5. Just to show. There's other ones. Because we are sons, we are led by the Spirit. It says sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. That's another attribute of being a son of God. But this one here, because we're sons, we're able to bear his chastisement. Because look what he says in Hebrews 12, verse 5. When those Hebrews, when those people in that day were saying, but it's too hard what God's putting us through. Paul wrote to them and says, and you have forgotten the exhortation that speaks unto us, unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives. So if God loves you, he's going to correct you, friends. God corrected Israel far more strictly than all the other nations. Why? They were his son. I'm not going to chastise Brother Wilmore's children. I'm going to chastise my children. I might tell them, hey, stop doing that. But when it's time for chastisement, a father chastises his own children. And that's what God does to us. Because we're his children, he chastises us. He corrects us. He whips us when you need a whipping. Puts us back in line, trying to free us from those characteristics that are not characteristics of that great attribute that he's put inside of us. Then he continues on in the next verse. It says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And again, you come back to the sonship of Jesus on the cross. He was still a son. Despite the whipping that he was getting that he never deserved, he was being whipped for us. He still loved his father. He still gave his father his position. He never said anything against his father. It was hard. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was hard. But he maintained the spirit of sonship. And then you come down a level in our day to the prophet when Sister Hope and when Sharon Rose passed away. He still maintained the spirit of sonship. When the devil said, how can you serve such a God? After all that you've done for this God. And then he doesn't even have to do it. He just has to look at your daughter and she'll be healed. But instead he puts down the black curtain. He won't hear your prayers. And the prophet says, I was about to say, if that's how he treats me, I'm not going to serve him. He says, then something came from deep within. You see, it's that gene, the prophet says. That attribute that was there. The prophet says, right from the inside of the inside, something came and said, who am I anyhow? Who gave me this wife? Who gave me this daughter? The Lord has given. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Friends, you cannot impersonate that. That's an attribute of a son and daughter of God. In the midst of your worst chastisement, you'll still call him Abba Father, Papa. No matter how much I whip Daniel, correct him, whatever needs to be done, he'll always come back to me as Daddy. Because he knows that Daddy loves him. He knows, although at that time he might not be happy, because Paul says, but when chastisement is going on, it's not pleasant at the time. But afterwards it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness. You may rebel a little bit like a child does to say, you don't love me anymore, but you know inside of your heart, Daddy, it was for my good. I deserved it. In fact, I deserved it. When I think of the times my father gave me a whipping, friends, he never gave me enough. I deserve far more than I ever got. I can never look back at my father and say, he whipped me too much. He gave me whippings. We used to have to go and choose a peach stick from a peach tree. He'd make us choose our own stick. Go and choose your stick. And you'd go, and we were silly when we were young. We didn't realize that the small little ones that bend hurt the most, you know. So we'd go and choose a small one and come and give it. And he said, touch your toes. And you'd touch your toes. And then, watcha! And you'd be off like a 100-meter sprint. Aye! But friends, we never got enough of them. And the prophet says that. He says, my father should have beaten me more. And the Bible says, but if we can be subject to the father of flesh, our earthly fathers, how much more do we in the spirit of sonship need to subject ourselves to the father of spirits and live and say, Papa, you know what's good for me. You know it wasn't good the way that I was going. You know that it's not good what I've been manifesting. You're trying to free me from these things that are keeping me from the fullness of my inheritance. You're trying to set me free from these things that are stopping you saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. That's what God's trying to get rid of us in our lives. God's just trying to get us to the real spirit of sonship. That's what he wants. Because God from the foundation of the world always yearned and desired, we'll see it on Sunday by the grace of God, to express this fatherhood. God feels for his children. He's burdened for his children. When we don't give him attention as a father, when you put our attention elsewhere, he gets jealous over us. Just as much as our children, when you want to love your child and then your child doesn't show back the love to you, how do you feel? After all, you try and express to your child and you show fatherhood to your child like God did to Israel. And then Israel turned their back and went to worship to other gods. And says, this be the God that brought you out of Egypt, the golden calf. Imagine how God feels at those kind of times, the same way that, and far more than the way that we feel towards our children. That's our friends, to learn about fatherhood. He's the fountain of fatherhood. To learn about sonship, let's look at Jesus. He's the perfect son. Everybody else has fallen short, but Jesus maintained the spirit of sonship through things you cannot imagine. Right in Gethsemane, he's saying, Abba, Father. When that cup is being presented to him, when the Father is saying, my son, this is the climax of it. This is what you were born for. It's unspeakable what I'm asking you to do. And Jesus still says, Abba, Father, Papa, is this what you want me to do? Is there no other way that my brethren can be redeemed? Is there no other way apart from me doing this? If there's some other way, please let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, if this is what needs to be done, I'll take the cup. And he took the cup, friends. That was the spirit of sonship. And that's why he has given all dominion. Because of that, now he's been given a name above every other name. All power in heaven and earth was given unto him. Because of that manifestation of sonship, friends. And he was taken from his father's throne, given his throne. And he says to them that overcome, come and sit with me. My brothers and sisters, come and sit with me in my domain as well. Friends, that's what the gospel's all about. That's why we're living in the days when the seals have been unveiled. And under the seals, the prophet says, we see our name. The people in the ages gone by never understood these things. The prophet gives such simple stories sometimes. He speaks about the slave taken from Africa, whose father was the king. And he conducted himself differently. When all the other slaves would complain and do this, that slave boy, he conducted himself different until that man came and said, I want to buy that slave. And the slave owner said, that slave's not for sale. He says, do you feed him differently? He says, he feeds in the galley with the rest. He said, what's the difference? So that boy says, he's a child of a king. His father in the far off land is a king. And although he's in a foreign land, he knows he's a son of a king. That's why he conducts himself different than the rest. And friends, when you catch a revelation that you are son of God, you're going to conduct yourself different than this world. You're going to conduct yourself, even the rest of the people at work are complaining about the wages and so forth. You're going to conduct yourself like a child of the king. Because you'll know that everything is in the hands of the king. Those stories that in the prophet on the duck and the chicken and those kind of things. There was deep truth in those things of predestination. That although we were born in this world, though we were born in flesh like the rest of people. But friends, there's something different with the sons and daughters of God. And it's not being proud and it's not being arrogant. It's the revelation of the word. And the prophet says, when the bride realizes who she is, she'll go. And if you realize you're a son and daughter of God, friends, it makes a big difference in the way you approach Papa. It'll make a big difference in the way that you conduct yourself. It'll make a big difference and big strides towards the fullness of our inheritance. Because the last thing, because we are sons, He stores up an inheritance for us. And friends, we have our inheritance. God has stored up an inheritance to His son Israel. When He called him out of bondage in Egypt, He had an inheritance of a land. And friends, God has given us an inheritance. It's an eternal inheritance. It's in this world and in the world to come. Friends, He's created a city for us. He's created a kingdom for us. Imagine the inheritance that is stored up for the sons and daughters of God. Friends, let's just conduct ourselves as children of the King. If you've forgotten that you're a child of the King like the prodigal son, get back in fellowship with your father. And you'll start to realize you were never a slave. You were never a servant like that. You were always a son that had just got out of tune, that had got out of the spirit of sonship. Just get back in the spirit of sonship and see the way that Papa will start to express the attributes of fatherhood to you once again. What a blessing that it is. Let's stand. Let's sing one song before we close in a word of prayer there, saints. Because we are sons, friends, such privileges to us. You know, Brother Pavel there in Lithuania, he called the song leaders a few weeks back. He had come back from Trinidad. And he said to them, let's go through the songbook and let's throw out a lot of these old songs that speak of things that are not according to the word. And they took some of those songs, like the ones we sing, you know, a worthless slave to buy and all those things. Friends, Jesus never came to buy worthless slaves. He never did. Jesus came to redeem the sons and daughters of God. And they went through the songbook and they found all the ones that had got that false man's idea from those ages gone by. And they took them out of their songbook. And I said, that's a very good idea. Because some of those things are not scriptural. Like the prophet says about that song, there's a new name written in heaven. You know, there's a new name in glory tonight. The prophet says, a nice sentimental song. He said, but it's not true. Your name was put before the foundation of the world. It's not when you that night you repented that your name was written in heaven. That's some man's idea in a song. And maybe it's good for us to look through our songs, friends, and find the songs that speak spiritual truth. So that when we're singing in accordance with what's been unveiled in the seals of redemption in this age. I think it'll help us to sing those things until they're more of a reality to us.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found and blind, but now I see, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
When we've
been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun.
Let's sing a song, Brother George. Justified. You know, it's a real good song. We never did it in the first place. God made a provision for us. We justified.
I was sitting alone and wondering about what I'm supposed to do. I can't deny the times I've made mistakes. I can't hide from Him. He knew. that I knew that deep within my soul I felt sorry, honest I do. So I just cried and said, forgive me, Lord, forgive me again, will you?
Hallelujah!
Justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified, justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. So often I'm discouraged when I count the times I fall. 'Cause he promised
I'll be victorious
when I knew I'm not alone. Then I heard an eagle scream, its voice quickened my soul. He said, you've not done it in the first place, you're justified.
Hallelujah!
Justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place, you're justified. Justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place, you're justified.
Oh,
he looked at your perfect picture without blame, spot or wrinkle. He didn't look at you where you are now. He looked from eternity. He said you're just trapped in that body. You bypassed your theophany. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified.
Hallelujah.
Justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified, justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place, you're justified.
Oh, I'm justified.
Justified. I'm justified. I have not done it in the first place, you're justified.
Justified.
Justified. I'm justified. I have not done it in the first place, you're justified. Let's sing one more. Let's sing just with the thought of the message tonight, the original life.
Amen.
Because, friends, we are the original life. We were in Him. Eternal life never had a beginning, never has an end. That gene in you, that something inside of you tonight that just wants to worship Him. Though your flesh may try to pull you down and say, but I'm tired, I don't feel like worshiping. But there's something inside of you that urges you on. And says, I want to express myself. There's something inside of you that just wants to express itself, friends. That never started in time. That started in eternity. That's an eternal attribute that God put in you as a son and a daughter of God. Because we came from God and we go back to God. We came from eternity down into time to the days of our flesh to gain character by the things we suffer. And then we go back to the glory once again. That's what the soul is. This body, like the song says, this flesh, a robe of flesh, will drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize. And we'll say, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. That's what the song says, and that's the truth. Let's sing this song, The Original Life.
The original
life. The original seed. The original word. It's what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed. The seventh seal is unveiled. The original life. The original seed. God's attributes were manifested. to his bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we are reserved for. Praise the Lord for the original lie. The original lie.
Hallelujah.
The original seed. The original word. It's what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed. The seventh seal is unveiled. The original life, the original seed. We are the Word made flesh today. This is what the Scriptures say. And our names are sealed within, redeemed, perfect, without sin. Yes, we are the anointed and inspired by our God, who's the original life.
Hallelujah!
The original life. The original seed. The original word. It's what I believe.
What I believe, what I believe.
The Son of Man,
the Son of Man
is revealed. The seventh seal is unveiled. The original life. The original seed. Our eyes of understanding, he has opened up at last. And sweet victory is ours, who were chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God, who's the original life.
Hallelujah!
The original life. The original seed. The original word. It's what I believe.
What I believe, what I believe.
The Son of Man.
The Son of Man.
The seventh seal is unveiled. The original life. The original seed. We are called unto adoption, full authority and power. Sleeping saints will wake and join us for translation in this hour. Gentile days soon will be over. Glory, hallelujah, to our God, who's the original life.
Hallelujah,
the original life. The original seed. The original word is what I believe.
What I believe, what I believe.
The Son of Man,
the Son of Man
is revealed. The seventh seal is unveiled. The original life. The original seed.
Saints, we'll sing one more. Let's sing that one. I know we sing the song quite a bit, but it's really, I love the words so much. Father of life, seated on the throne of grace. He's the Father of life, friends. Are you not glad tonight that you know Him? The Bible says to know Him is life. All the other things are secondary in this life. But just to know Him. Don't you want to know Him more? The greatest desire I have in my soul is to know Him more. I want to be a truer son. I want a deeper spirit of sonship. I'm sure you want the same thing. Let's sing this song. And let's put ourselves before the Lord for a few minutes before we go. Father of life, seated on the throne of grace.
Father of life, seated on your throne of grace. It's only by your mercy we are saved. Lord, you have said, if we call upon your name, we and our families
is Jesus Christ.
We rely on your grace. Adonai, crowned in praise.
Failing to forgive, each moment is a gift from you to live. We're only here to tell the world about your name. Oh, until the day you take us all away, so we cry out your name, Adonai, crowned in praise, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ.
It's Jesus Christ.
We rely on you.
Song is saying, we cry to your name. Friends, you may not cry with a loud voice, but I'm sure your soul cries to him tonight. Whatever you desire, let's cry out to the Lord for a few minutes. Let's speak to him, to El Shaddai, to Adonai. All those names came down into one, Jesus Christ. And the whole family in heaven and earth is named Jesus Christ. Let's call upon his name. Heavenly Father, just to wait upon the Lord upon this day,
Father,
just to thank you.
Jesus.
Father, even as
work, Lord Savior. The work, Lord, even amidst tension, Lord, even amidst their lives, Lord. Guide us as we part. Keep our family, Lord, we pray. Father, Lord, we pray for. Father, guide us now.
If anybody has a desire before the Lord, if you want to raise your hand to the Lord, we just ask Brother George to close for us in a word of prayer. Just one announcement is a youth meeting tomorrow at 1 p.m. That's at the church, yeah? At the church, 1 p.m. youth meeting tomorrow. Let's keep that in prayer. We just ask Brother George to close for us in prayer.
Father, most gracious Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we are grateful, Father, oh God, that we can come even into, Lord, the middle of the world.
Yes, Lord.
Father, Lord, for in there lieth all the mysteries of life.
Amen.
Father, Lord, this mystery of sonship, Father, that, Lord, Savior, you have with the Son.
Amen.
Lord, how we desire, Lord, Savior, to make that, even as, Lord, Savior, Father, has been ministered tonight, Lord, our example.
Amen.
Father, Lord, mighty Savior, knowing indeed, Lord, that, Lord, if we could, Lord, Savior, Father, have that relationship with thee, oh God, all things would be well.
Amen.
Father, Lord, everything would make sense, oh God.
Amen.
Father, we ask your grace, Lord. Father, Lord, God, for many times we complain about the condition of the age. We complain of, Lord, Savior, the sin, Lord, Savior, the chilling winds of Sodom, oh God.
Amen.
But, Lord, Father, we fail to see, oh God, your tender hand, Lord, Savior.
Amen.
Father,
yes,
Lord, which you've given unto us, Lord, even in this day, Father.
Amen.
Oh God, how you carefully selected us not by mistake, not by coincidence, Lord. Father, you placed us, Lord, Father, in this hot, Lord Savior, age, knowing indeed, Lord Savior, that we would stand, Lord Savior. Amen. Father, Lord, righteous, Lord, and we would, Lord Savior, Father, be able, Lord, to, Lord Savior, express those very attributes, Lord Savior,
yes, Lord,
that you would desire even in this day, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Yes,
Lord. Grant us grace, Lord, even as Lord Savior. Father, we would ponder, Lord, even upon these things, O God. For Lord Jehovah, for us, Lord Savior, to ever, Lord, understand, Lord. Father, oh God, many an author, Lord, has written, Lord Savior, that we would, Lord Savior, spend eternity, Lord,
Amen.
Trying to comprehend, Lord. Father, Amen. Lord God, your graciousness, Lord Savior.
Amen.
We ask your grace, Lord Savior.
Praise, Lord.
And Lord, Amen. Even as is called unto us to be faithful, Lord,
Amen.
Even in Lord Savior, just your word, Lord, in living a spiritual life, Lord. Father, in coming to thine house, Lord, in our fellowships one with another, Lord, and
yes,
keeping
Lord.
Ourselves focused, Lord, Savior, always, Lord, being about the Father's business, Lord.
Amen.
Father, you give us grace and you give us unction, Lord, that we be able, Lord, to act out that very part, Lord.
Please,
Lord,
Lord,
that would enable us, Lord, Savior. Father, if it were maybe to win a soul, Father,
Amen.
To your house, Lord.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
To minister your word,
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
Father, to
yes,
the
Lord.
Lost out there, Lord God.
Amen.
Maybe, Lord, Savior, Father, to do or say a thing, Lord, that you would desire, Lord, to do, Lord. Father, even, Lord, Savior, just, Lord. Father, maybe, Lord, to be Jesus, Lord. Father, to the lost, Lord, Savior, God.
Amen.
We
yes.
ask your grace, Lord. Help us, O God. For, Lord, we have, Lord, even in these earthen vessels, Lord, sufficient strength, Lord.
Amen.
Sufficient,
yes.
Lord, Savior. Father, O God, of the word, Lord. Father, to, Lord, help us act out, Lord, Savior, what you would, Lord, Savior, desire. Father,
Amen.
Thy
yes,
name be glorified.
Lord.
Thy name be praised, Lord, Father. Lord, restore virtue unto our brother, Lord,
Please,
who's
Lord.
Not only labored tonight, Lord, but labored even in preparation, Lord,
Lord.
Savior. Father, Lord, we are glad as well. Father, Lord, that we've come, Lord, tonight expecting, Lord, Lord, and we go away filled, Lord, Savior God.
Amen.
Lord, we desire to come in the same way, even upon Sunday service,
Please,
Lord, Savior.
Lord.
Remembering them that have not made it tonight, you know their situation, maybe illness, maybe work, whatever, Lord, the
Amen.
Situation, but,
yes,
Lord, give grace, Lord, even upon the next service, oh God.
Please, Lord.
Lord, you be glorified, even in this time, be glorified in our lives, even in this place, oh God. We ask your grace now, bless our families, keep us now, you provide until our next service.
Amen. Amen. God bless. Saints, just remember youth, 1 o'clock tomorrow. God bless.
Spirit of Elijah turns us back. Come and drink of this water, you will never thirst again. Oh, Spirit and the Bride, say come. He who hath an ear, let him hear. Spirit said to the church, never fear. Come and drink of this rock, you will never thirst again. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come out. Come out, come in, come out. Spirit of Elijah turns us back. Come and drink of this water, you will never thirst again. Oh, Spirit and the Bride, say come. Spirit and the Bride say come. Spirit and the Bride.